Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
The RNC and the MRP have both made a request to simply delay that certification.
I think the fraud in the election goes much farther than just the president.
The conduct of the president's legal team has been a national embarrassment.
We have got to eliminate and end the Electoral College.
The Constitution is not suspended during a crisis.
No, it's not. And we have to keep that in mind. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're so glad that you're with us on this Monday. It is listen to me. Thanksgiving week.
Yes, it is.
And we're all wondering whether or not we're going to all be together on Thursday. We are. Nobody, anybody else. I don't know anybody else that's canceled their Thanksgiving plans because of this.
You don't
Except
know.
You.
I mean, yeah, I think families across the nation are having to look at things a little bit differently.
Mm.
I'm not canceling my plans because Pritzker says I can't get together with my family.
We have modified our plan to have my mother there.
Right.
So the elderly. But in terms of just canceling the whole thing, and we've not done that. So I don't know. I guess people are looking at that. Restaurants are looking at that. Can you imagine? I mean, I would assume that the restaurants that have a catering business will still do well because this is the people that didn't want to cook before certainly won't want to cook now. And if they're not cooking one big meal, it's hard to cook a turkey for two people or four people. I mean, you have a lot of turkey left over unless you get a really small one. So maybe people are going to look at catering. Maybe the restaurants will actually benefit from that. My friend who works in the restaurant business in Ohio told me they're expecting this to be a record-setting week for carryout. They don't have the restrictions we do where he is in terms of people can dine in, but carryout is traditionally Thanksgiving week is their biggest week of the year. They crushed the record last year, and he expects it to be even bigger this year based on pre-orders. So,
cool.
Kind of where they're going.
Business needed. So.
It's true, and there's going to be a appeal. I hear. Of the lawsuit in St. Louis County for these restaurants. Of course, Friday afternoon, about 4 or 5 o'clock, the story broke that the judge in the case had rejected the attempt to get a temporary restraining order against Sam Page, I guess because he didn't feel it was the right thing, as opposed to judging it based on the violation of the county charter, which is what's happening. So fortunately, the people filing that lawsuit they're going to appeal that to the next level. They're going to go above Judge Lassiter's head and until they get to somewhere there's some common sense residing and they kind of slap Sam Page's hand a little bit. In the meantime, some of those restaurants are open. So please patronize them because they're just trying to feed their families. That's what's happening there. We're going to continue to cover that. We'll give you all the details on it. I've got Jesse Jane Duff coming up at 8:10. Congressman Burgess Owens is going to join us this morning as well at around 8:35. So stay tuned for that. Right now, let's get to Rodney. Rodney Boyd, how are you, my friend? Happy Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving week. I want to start off by saying thank you for your support and shout out to the restaurants, St. Louis County especially, but in the whole region. It's a critical, as you said it, and I just want to repeat it real quickly, it's a critical, critical time for people in the region to support their favorite restaurant. In fact, even maybe make a new favorite restaurant. Yes. One of the things I've asked people to do is make a new favorite restaurant or two or five during this COVID time. They need it. They depend on us, and they're there for us, and we sort of need to look back and help them too.
Yeah, I went out to a Bartolino's for lunch last week. I'm going to pick another restaurant, maybe go today or tomorrow this week. People need to call for carryout, try to support one of these restaurants and show them some love through all this. It's a good point.
Really love it. You know, we can't travel, so my wife and I have been doing travel through eating. So every week we find a different culinary restaurant that we say, well, we've never been to whatever. So last week we picked a Turkish restaurant over in South City, and we're like, let's eat some Turkish food. Good. And it was really good. So we're trying to support restaurants and expand our horizon and all that good stuff.
How did the kids feel about that?
You know, the kids were fascinated by the fact that Dad had a whole fish.
Oh, I
and
see.
They
yeah,
had
the
yeah. whole fish with the eyes and everything. So it's been fun. I mean, we're just teaching them how in some different cultures, people don't just cook the fish fillet. They eat the whole, they cook the whole thing. So it's been fun. Yeah. It's been fun.
Good deal. Good deal, Rodney. You know, we were just talking about Mayor Crewson deciding not to run again. Here was her announcement from last week. Listen.
So this past weekend, you may know this, I had a birthday. You probably saw it on Facebook. Birthdays are good. And of course, they also make you think about the future. What comes next? I am now pushing 70. So after a lot of thinking and a lot of discussion with my family, I have decided to retire in April and not file to run for re-election this coming Monday.
Well, that opens up a can of worms in the city and a lot of people chomping at the bit, huh, Rodney?
It really does. And the timing of that is remarkably interesting because, as she mentioned, filing for the office opens today. So many people are still looking back on November 3rd and not really were aware, at least in St. Louis City, that we immediately move into the next election cycle in the city, that is, and that's the mayoral race. And what makes it very intriguing for me, I've been watching these races for the last probably 10 elections, and this is the most unique mayoral race in maybe 150 years, if not longer, because the voters on November 3rd in St. Louis City created an entirely new, unprecedented in the city process by which we actually choose a mayor. And it starts today, Mark, with how you even get on the ballot and who can get on the ballot. And real quickly, we now don't have a winner-take-all primary process, which has been that way for the last 100-plus years, where you have an election in March, I think it's the whatever, March 19th or 20th, whoever would win that election would be the de facto mayor because you run into a general election with no Republican opponent. No more. Runoff now. Runoff for top two vote getters. But even more critical, you have to get about 12,500 signatures to even file to get on the ballot. That's very, very new. So, Mark, just bear me out for 1 second. Here we now have a process never done in the city where you can't just file today like you used to be able to do in prior cycles. You got to show up with 12,500 certified signatures. And by the way, good luck. You got to collect them during a pandemic in the city where some stranger's got to come up to you and say, hey, Mark, can you give me about 5 minutes to tell me you're registered, where you live, and sign this form? Or I'm going to ring your doorbell. You don't know me. Open up for me.
Are they just trying to keep Bill Haas off the ballot this time, or what?
You know, I think that because the last election was decided by 800 votes in a crowded field, people wondered, because they look around the country, they have this runoff process in Kansas City, they have this runoff process in a few other cities, and then they have it in a few other states. I think people always seem to long for what is happening in another city when it comes to politics, as if there's some panacea there, some magic potion. I've seen those races. It's as volatile as what we've had here. In some cases, it's even more. But we're here now. Yeah. So today opens, and you're going to see people all over St. Louis City if you're in town trying to collect signatures for the mayoral race.
Well, we got to just call this what it is, right? It's basically trying to move the Democratic primary to the general election because you know that's the real race anyway, right? So, in other words, the top couple of vote getters might end up being in a runoff, and that's exactly what Tashara Jones would have liked last time against Lyda Crewson.
Yeah, that's what she would have liked last time. The question is, is that what she would like this time? You know what I mean? My point is the nostalgic looking at other races and thinking, oh, one, every election cycle, you know this, Mark, you cover them all, is radically different. And the world is more radically different now. You know, one of the questions you've asked a number of times off air, on air, hey, will a Republican ever run? Well, these elections, these runoff elections are technically nonpartisan. So anyone that gets to 12,005 can go on the ballot. And I was talking to some Republican operatives about this very situation, and this may not be the time. But if you think about the fact we haven't had a Republican mayor in the city of St. Louis for the last maybe 70 years, if you move forward with a process that says the top two vote getters move ahead, right? I understand the idea that this is a redress, could be a redress for the last time, but you could ostensibly open up an opportunity for somebody who otherwise would not have been able to get into a general election, who might not be a lifelong Democrat, to get there. Maybe that's not this cycle, but I always say to people, be careful what you wish for, because I could, you know, I was talking to the operatives and they said, look, we may not have the Republican Party herself may not run a candidate this time. But let's say 4 years from now, you've got, you know, crime is at an all-time high, business is on the down. People may be looking for a pro-law enforcement, pro-business personality. And so within 4 years from now, you could open up an opportunity for such a candidate to emerge. Only time will tell. But no one would have been thinking about any Republican 4 years from now without this new process.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see who throws their hat into the ring. I know Lewis Reed has had his eye on that job for a while now. Obviously, Tashara Jones. Kara Spencer, I think, is another city alderwoman who's been eyeballing the mayor's race and is already filed.
Yes, and there's a young lady named Dana Kelly who was previously married to Bruce Franks, who became famous from being a protester who became state rep. I know she's interested. There is some small chatter about the stable in City Hall, Greg Daly, who's been there in City Hall for many, many years, and he was a candidate. People were speculating about him last time. And the question is, does he see an opening now in a runoff to get past some of the hype in the first phase and come back and be the, you know, safe choice in that round two?
Right.
So, and I suspect because of this new process, it'll hamper some people getting signatures, but it will open it up to some people, one or two people that we haven't even thought about.
Sounds like our friend Keith Antone is listening this morning, Rodney. He's texting me right now. Because he's telling me that the vote, the signatures necessary is less than 12,500.
Okay, well, that's good. I apologize. I'll fact check myself on that.
That's what Keith's claiming anyway. So he's texting me right now, and he says Lewis is in, and we're going to see a growing number of people. It ought to be quite a race. Do you like or dislike this idea? Of the way they've changed it?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I mean, I have never lived under it. I've only read about it in other cities. On its face, it seems like it's fair because you don't have a person winning by less than 1% and walking away with everything. But at the same time, you know, it seems like if you have – what I didn't like about the way this was worded was it's the top two vote getters, and it seemed from what I read, no matter what. So here's my point. If in most of the races, the person that gets greater than 51%, there is no runoff. They move into the next phase, and that's sort of de facto they win, similar to what we had. This process, from the way I understood it, and someone can fact check me, is the top two vote getters no matter what. So if one candidate, if there's three or four, and one candidate gets 80% of the vote and everybody else splits the last 20, still the top two move into the next election cycle. To me, that seems like a stretch because the voters would have resoundedly said we want person A by greater than 51%, and if it's a higher number, like 80%. So I'm not so sure this process of taking the top two, no matter what, is the best utilization of the voting process if there is a clear winner. So there's a way I thought it could have been worded differently. And then there's another piece to this that is very intriguing. I've never lived under it either. Well, you don't just vote, Mark. And think about that. You don't just vote for your one person. You vote, I think, for your favorite three.
Okay.
That's the way I read it. Okay. So you get to vote one through three, and they get ranked. So some of this nouveau stuff is a little bit odd to me. But I've been in St. Louis my whole life voting, you know, one person and then winner take all. So we'll see how it plays out. And that's the thing about when you start adding new colorful elements to elections, especially local elections, you get new colorful elections.
Yep, that's a good point. It'll be interesting to see how this one shakes out. That's for sure. You know, Rodney, let me get your thoughts for a minute on what's going on nationally. This thing's dragged out now for 3 weeks. The president's still challenging things in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, in Michigan, clearly. It seems like things have kind of gone away. Maybe I'm wrong, but in Wisconsin, I'm not hearing of a pending legal action. A lot of the president's supporters, not a lot. A number of Republicans, including Chris Christie, came out this weekend and they're urging him more forcefully now to kind of call it. We've never seen, I mean, this is different than Gore versus Bush, right? 20 years ago.
There's no real analogy to Gore versus Bush for two reasons. One, I don't think there's an analogy because this isn't one state, first of all. The accusations span of several. But secondly, I don't see a pathway to the Supreme Court. If you remember Gore v. Bush, there was a direct appeal to the Supreme Court after about this same time period, maybe even a little sooner, went straight to the court. This process is working through these lower courts that keep sort of either denying or amending or asking for more information. Here's where I think the finish line is, no matter what people, whether you think it was stolen or not, here's where I think the finish line is. On December 14th, the Electoral College meets, and they're going to put the votes on the table. And I believe that after that day, when they meet and all the, you know, now there may be one or two states to say they're not ready, but there'll be enough there, I think, for them to meet and have a ratification of what they can. I think at that point, if as it appears, the 270 is put on the table for Mr. Biden, then the president will have to make a decision about how he conducts himself, what he says and does from December the 15th through January 20th. So right. I think there is a defining moment. And until the 14th, until the Electoral College meets, I think the president and his team are going to continue to turn over every stone that they believe they are legally entitled to turn over.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out because I've wondered about that. If I remember correctly, it went to the Florida Supreme Court, and then they appealed it directly to the United States Supreme Court.
Correct. And the United States Supreme Court took it up right away, didn't even let the lower court monkey around with it, just said this is the kind of thing we need to deal with right now.
Yeah.
And I don't see this Supreme Court reaching out for this, and I don't see any lower court giving them the writ, the cert status to get to it. So we'll see. I mean, I think the defining moment, I think if the 270 is put on the table for Mr. Biden on the 14th, the question becomes on the morning of the 15th, what do the president supporters and what do the Republican establishment, the McConnells and the Thunes and these guys, what do they say to the president on the morning of December 15th?
That's a good point. Rodney Boyd, my guest this morning. Rodney, before we run out of time, Friday afternoon, the attorneys representing the local restaurant association, Mary Elizabeth Coleman, I had her on the show Friday. They got turned down for their temporary restraining order. My understanding is they're going to appeal that. Have you looked at that suit at all? Do you have any thoughts on it?
I didn't look at it, but I did talk to people around it, and the as you said, what they asked for was an injunction to stop the order from going into effect as it relates to the restaurants. And so the court said, you haven't shown us enough of an urgency to give you an order to give us this order.
Huh.
Go get your evidence and come back. You'll have a full hearing. So that was, and for folks that don't know, there's a two-step process. If you think that someone's going to harm you, you need immediate redress, you go to court and you get the court to stop that action. That's a high bar. You got to show it. The court, the judge in that case said they didn't. You could appeal it, as I think you said they're going to do, or you could prepare for the formal injunction, which is usually, and I could be wrong about this, I haven't been in court in a long time, but you could do then you get to your actual injunctive hearing. There's a full hearing on the injunction, and that's where you go in with your evidence and you show the irreparable harm.
Well, that makes sense because she told me this is step one, so they're going to go back at it. I hope so. Rodney, I'm out of time, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Folks, thank you for supporting your local restaurants. It matters.
We will talk to you next week. Appreciate that. Rodney Boyd, host of Insider Talk, every Sunday from noon to 1 right here on 971 FM Talk. A quick break. Time for your phone calls. What say you? 314-241-9797. Burgess Owens coming up in the next hour.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Yeah, I think I've got my subject for 2A Tuesday tomorrow, Tricia, just so you know.
Okay.
So for those of you who are still watching Fox News, we get the rundown each morning for some of the stories they're going to be covering during their newscast today. Since we're an affiliate of Fox News Radio, they send us these things because sometimes you can request interviews with certain television reporters who will come on your show. I've had my friend Jonathan Seri on a few times, who's a reporter for them. And this is one of the stories they're covering today. I just want to let you know this. President-elect Biden, which is how they're referring to him, it's not how I've referred to him yet, is looking to rein in guns, and he's looking to use a tax to do it. Gun owners in the United States could face a $200 tax under a Biden administration if they don't participate in a gun buyback program or register their firearms under the National Firearms Act, which requires the payment of a $200 tax. Now, let me explain that for a minute. Certain weapons you have to register right now. If they're fully automatic, if they're, you know, have certain restrictions, you have to go and register them. We know that. They're talking about expanding that to probably a weapon you already have in your safe currently. So in other words, they would come to you with the threat. Yeah, believe it or not, this is America we're talking about here, where we have a constitutional right to keep and bear arms that's not supposed to be infringed. Here's what these lunatics are talking about. They're talking about, and hopefully if the Republicans hold the Senate, this is not an issue. If they don't, Katie, bar the door, right? They're going to turn your American sporting rifle, otherwise known as an AR-15, or your semi-automatic, Ruger Mini 14 into some sort of weapon of war and make you register it. Or you'll have the option of selling it back to the government. A couple of big problems there. Number one, I didn't buy it from the government, so I'm not selling it back to the government. And number two, I'm not registering it. So I don't know how you feel about that. Now, unfortunately, I lost all my weapons in a boating accident, so it won't affect me. But I'm telling this to those of you who could be affected by it. No, we're not going to do that, Joe Biden. Here's how Fox is reporting in this story. That's just one of the proposals under Biden's policy prescription that he thinks will stem gun violence in America. He also wants to enact legislation to end any online sale of firearms, ammunition, kits, or parts. So I'm just telling you, among other things, it's a direct blowback in the face of his claim that he won't tax anybody under $400,000 a year. This would be a tax on all Americans who own firearms, plain and simple. I just about can't envision a scenario where this is going to happen unless the Democrats control the Senate. And you heard Chuck Schumer say the other day, we need to control the United States Senate and we're going to go out and change America, was his scary soundbite. This is one way they want to do it. So tomorrow we're going to, maybe we'll get Cam or Mark or somebody on here to talk about this and realistically how they would try to implement something like that. You talk about protests in the streets of Washington. Wait till they try this. What's the death toll in St. Louis right now? Does anybody know? Isn't it, wasn't it 230? Is that what I heard? 230 people? Do you know the in Los Angeles, I don't know, what's the population of Los Angeles? 20 million? 25 million? Google that for me real quick there, Tricia. I'm interested to know this.
Los Angeles population as of 2018 that just came up.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
10 million? 10 million people?
The population of LA County, 10,079,000.
10 million people. On Sunday, the LA Times reported they had four killings from Saturday into Sunday morning, pushing the city to 300 deaths for the first time since 2009. They have 10 million people, and they had 300 deaths. St. Louis, we have 300,000 people, and we've had 240 deaths. Let me put that in perspective for you there, if you need to help with the math. That's a lot. It's the reason that we make that list of deadliest places in America every year. Now, I understand the difference between city and county, and if we mix the other million people in that were in the county, that number would go way down. Point being, do you really think asking the criminals to register their firearms would stop that? How dim-witted do you have to be to think that's going to stem the sale of illegally purchased weapons to these criminals in North City that are going out and shooting people on the street corners because of bad drug deals or trying to carjack the poor delivery driver down here at the pizza place in our first floor of our building because he wanted his car? Has nothing. These two things are not connected. You're penalizing legal citizens of the United States who've gone out and followed all the rules to buy these weapons by threatening to tax them $200 per gun if they're not willing to turn them in to the federal government. I would just point out that our ancestors fought a revolutionary war for less. That was a tax on tea. You don't have a constitutional right to tea. I mean, this is just, it's outrageous. Let me get to the phones here real quick. Marvin, good morning.
Two things. One, I read that on Biden's website about the $200. But I didn't remember, it didn't say if it was per weapon or just per owner, because like if you get a suppressor, you have to pay a $200 tax stamp per suppressor. Same with a short barrel rifle, you have to pay a $200 tax stamp for the SBR. So that could wind up in be a lot of money.
That could be a hell of a lot of money. It says here, if they refuse to register their firearm, not firearms, so that's $200 per whatever item they decree is suddenly illegal.
Correct. And it's like, a little Ruger 10/22, which is a semi-automatic weapon. Is that going to, they're just going to, they're going to be sorely disappointed in the amount of weapons they get during a buyback. You know, seizure of weapons was tried once before. I believe it was in 1775.
I do remember that. Yes, indeed. Yes. I'm just telling you. Again, let's pray we hold the Senate and the insane asylum does not completely take over Washington, D.C. I'm just reading... people, the story that Fox is covering today over what his proposals say. It's right there on his website. Nobody's making it up. They campaigned on this, but nobody bothered to read it.
No, it's Yeah, everything you've been saying, I've been preaching to all my friends. I have a Democrat that I work with, and he said, well, you should have to register your guns. And I said, what's the purpose? And he said, well, if it gets stolen. And I said, well, if my guns get stolen, I have enough information to provide to the police.
Thank you.
The government doesn't need me to register my weapons.
Yep. Yep. I'm with you, brother. Marvin, thank you for listening and calling.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Let me get to a quick break here. 314-241-9797. I'll get to more of your phone calls coming up. I'm going to ask you two a question when we come back about a popular restaurant that I've never been to so I can understand what the fascination is. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is your First Responder Spotlight.
Good morning to our friends out at the Lincoln County Fire and Rescue. Thanks for all that you do out there, Fire Chief Michael Marlowe and the gang. We appreciate you. We just wanted to let you know. By the way, they cover Troy, Moscow Mills, several surrounding rural communities out there. 163 square miles. Sure they got their hands full. How about that? Hey, this entire month of November, we're honoring our police, our firefighters, our EMTs. We're going to try to raise awareness and maybe a little bit of money. If you want to show your love for them, support backstoppers.org, which always has their back. They could particularly use it this year. Backstoppers.org. Learn more at 971talk.com/first responder. How about that? All right. Question for you, Tricia. What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter.
Oh, you were holding your finger up to me. I thought you needed me to pause for a moment.
No,
I'm sorry.
Just 1 minute till.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Good.
Okay.
Have you two ever been to In-N-Out Burger?
No.
Yes, I have.
What do you think? Is it worth the wait?
Define weight.
So they opened one in Colorado, apparently, which is they've never had them there before. There was a 14-hour traffic jam and parking lot brawl waiting for the food.
Mark, do you know how many zeros after or before a decimal point would have to be waiting for me to wait 14 hours in line for anything?
No, I don't.
A burger?
Is so it no. pretty good food? Do you like
it's,
it?
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's very good. But
not 14
no,
hours.
No,
though,
gotcha.
Right?
No.
12-hour wait. The police department was warning people. If you're trying to go to In-N-Out Burger, it's a 12-hour wait. They're all stoned and they needed to eat. We'll be right back. We'll have Jesse Jane Duff after this.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.